Lord Jesus, thanks for Rick. Thank you for all the work that he does here for our kids and nationally for children through the New Wine family. We pray that as he speaks to us today, Lord, we might be open to hear what it is that you have to say to us, that we might be transformed by your love and your goodness. Bless him and bless us through him as he speaks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Are we good, Kim? Are we good? Great. Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's quite weird being on this side because I feel like I've been welcoming people a lot over the whole of Christmas, and now I get to talk. So please bear with me. I noticed this week that Google have released their top five how-tos and from the last year. Would you like to know them? Okay. Top fives of 2020 from Google of how to. Number five, how to cut your own hair. Number four was how to get tested for coronavirus. Number three was how to make bread. Number two was how to make your own hand sanitizer. And number one was apparently how to make your own face mask. Now, all very much, I had to Google how to prepare properly because I want to start 2021 correctly. And I don't know about you, but I think we have to kind of change our position a little bit because our posture says an awful lot about where we are at. And I would love to encourage you and you to have a posture of one that is ready for all that 2021 is going to throw at us. Now, I was hopeful at the beginning of 2020. I was like, this is going to be amazing, you know. Si mentioned it over Christmas, like we all had that 2020 vision thing. It was all great. And then it all very quickly went a little bit out of kilter. But I guess that made me think, am I ready for whatever else is to come? Because what else can happen now, in all honesty? Maybe we will get to tier 443 and we will have to wear hazard suits to put our bins out. But are we prepared? Are we ready? That is what I'm not going to talk about. You'll be glad to know. Because in actual fact, I want to talk about light bulb moments. Because I think, in actual fact, if we are to be ready, we sometimes have to have those light bulb moments of like, oh, that's what happens. That's how it happens. So when was your last light bulb moment? Maybe you're at home, you can share with the people around you. When was that moment they went, bing, and you went, ah? For me, many happened over lockdown back last year because kids aren't taught the same way that I was taught. Or maybe I wasn't listening. That was probably more of the reason. But I was like really surprised that like my children were actually teaching me on how to do maths properly, and because it's not the same. Everything was different. I had many, many light bulb moments in those delightful homeschooling days. Maybe your light bulb moment has been recently over like lockdown, over even Christmas. Maybe your light bulb moment came when you were scrolling through Facebook videos and saw life hacks and went, oh, I'll try that. Maybe you've done an IKEA hack. Maybe you've gone, oh, that's it. What was your last light bulb moment? Because for me, I think that light bulb moments change perspective. They change things. They go, oh. You know, at the beginning of March, everybody was like, right, I'm gonna do things differently. And many of us did. Others of us possibly didn't because we were a little bit more fearful or we were a little bit like, oh, I don't know if I like change too much or, maybe there was some of those things, but they are generally really good for us, these light bulb moments that we have. Archimedes, one of the many Greek scholars. The water rose. The water moved as his body went into the water. And Archimedes didn't shout, "Ooh," he shouted, "Eureka!" Turn to the person next to you and say, "Eureka!" Lovely. If you're at home, you've just done that and you've gone, "Why on earth? Why?" But he's this moment of him saying, "I've found it. I've found something that is going to be different." What is it that you are trying to find that is going to be different in 2021? The wise men, which we're going to look at very, very shortly, had their Eureka, "We found it" moment when they looked up into the star. A star which symbolizes that something amazing had happened. A new king was born. Something had shifted. Something had changed, and they were looking for it. As we start 2021, what are you looking for? What are you asking the questions of, which is what we're actually going to unpack as well. So grab your Bible or your Bible app. We're going to get into Matthew 2. A passage that you probably know very, very well. And I'm going to pull out three words from it to help us start 2021. But here we go. So I'm going to read Matthew 2, 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Great. So, we all start with where. Where have they come from? Well, they came from the east, right? It wasn't Lincoln. I've been there. Apparently, it wasn't from there. My mates over in Norfolk do tell me quite regularly, no, we're not the wise people. But anyway, but they come to worship. They start with, they're coming to worship the newborn king. And they ask the question, where is the child? Now, we don't always like questions, do we? We don't, because questions can sometimes make us feel a little bit uncomfortable. You know? Some of those questions that we really wish that maybe people wouldn't ask around the Christmas table. Or at moments, and you just feel a little bit like, oh, I'm not really sure about this. But questions are good. We are all asking questions. When will this pandemic actually end? Will we get a holiday? Do I want the vaccine? Will we be able to still have food from abroad? All of those kind of questions people are asking all the time at the moment. We have big questions. The biggest question at the moment is, are children actually going to go to school tomorrow? Massive, massive questions. But we also have possibly what we feel are small questions going on in our lives all the time. What about this choice? Do I do this? Do I not do this? If I do this, what does that mean? And if I do that, what if I say... We have questions upon questions upon questions. And I want to say, don't stop asking questions. Questions are important because they are what help us get to that eureka moment. That moment of going, I have found it. So I want to just look at three verses out of this to help us really look at maybe what has gone before and then what is to come. So the first word that in many different translations, the Bible talks about in different ways, but the word that I used in this one was disturbed. In other words, in other translations, it says shaken. In verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. He was shaken, and all of Jerusalem with him. When we ask questions of people in authority, they don't always like it. They even train politicians on how to answer questions by not answering the question. Have you noticed this? They do it really, really well. I'm rubbish at it. Because ask anybody who knows me really well, they'll ask me a question, and I might try and not give the full answer, but they can see in my eyes that actually that isn't the answer, or my facial expression will give away the actual reason for not wanting to answer that question at that time. Now, of course, he's shaken. King Herod's reign is all about power and control. And yet, all of a sudden, he hears a question which he never thought would really be asked. Where is the child, the one who has been born king of the Jews? He then does the normal thing, right? He seeks counsel. When we have a big question, when I'm asked a big question, I normally ask Claire the answer. She normally is wiser than me, my wife. It's better that way. But sometimes those questions, so we find the counsel. The problem is, we don't always like the counsel or the answer that comes back. And it's quite clear from Herod, he doesn't like the answer. Because they go, well, it's already here. It's written in Micah. Because it actually says that the king will be born, that a new ruler will be born in Bethlehem. What? Nope, no one told me that bit. Well, that's the answer, Herod. And he really doesn't like it. And he starts his little plotting mind games because next few verses we read, he goes out and he starts seeing off 2-year-old children and below. He doesn't want any king to rise up against him because that means he is being attacked. He is being, all of his power, all everything is being taken away from him. He doesn't want this. It's shaken him. It shakes all of Jerusalem, we're told. Just one question. A cough shook the world. A virus has shaken our world. And I am amazed at the response of the people who are way more cleverer than me in bringing out a vaccine. It is incredible, but we have been shaken. I remember those early moments in March, April, when we were meeting with our young people, and they were just like, on Zoom, obviously, they were like, what is going on? When is life going to be normal again? These things have been shaken. What has been shaken for you last year? It's unsettling being shaken. Because when we don't know how to respond, we don't know what we should do, it's disarming. And yet, we also know that we have a God who is unshakable. And yet, we still get shaken because we're human beings, right? And it is hard when those things, when everything that we seemed to be so sure was shaken away from us. Those things that we always did. I was listening to, the sport radio yesterday. Obviously, it was Saturday afternoon. And in one of the trailers before the football actually started, one person said, "What I'm looking forward to in 2021 is being able to say on the radio, you can now hug somebody." Now, I didn't realize how much I really like to hug people. All right, please pray for my family. All right, because every 5 minutes. Because when that's taken away, it's unshaken. We don't know what to do. What are the questions that you have off the back of last year? What has shaken you that you're still questioning? It's okay to be shaken. It's okay to ask questions. But it's also a good thing to acknowledge what those questions actually are. Coming off the back of 2020. What are your questions? And I encourage you, don't just take them to human counsel. Lay them before God and godly counsel. Shaken is the first word. The next word is insignificant. Verse 6, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea." In other translations, it says, "You are not insignificant." Bethlehem is an hour and 49 minutes on foot from Jerusalem. Not that far by today's standards, right? May have felt like a long time for them. Over 2,000 years ago, but in actual fact, it's not that far. And yet Bethlehem has this kind of thought of being a nothing, being insignificant. The answer is, well, it's only Bethlehem. It can't be that good, right, says Herod. That's what I would say. Well, they don't mean anything. What is Bethlehem, really? And yet here in Scripture, it is spoke of way before Jesus appears, that out of that is going to become a new ruler. Maybe the eureka thing you're seeking at this moment in time isn't that far away. Maybe it's right in front of you. And maybe we haven't yet gone, "Oh, I've found it." Maybe it's in something really simple that you think, well, that's not really that important. I'm looking for the big thing. I'm looking for that really big idea that's going to come to me. When sometimes maybe it's just those little, normal, everyday, insignificant things. Maybe the answer to your question is closer than you think. I think it's also important that as we have been shaken, it has made us think an awful lot about ourselves. And we've heard the facts, and maybe some of us are journeying still through it, of the way that 2020 has shaken us to a point where our mental health has gone downhill. I don't know of anybody whose mental health has been tip-top throughout this whole crisis that we're facing. Even the most positive of people like myself, there have been moments where I'm like, really? And what those moments do as well is they make us feel as though we are insignificant. But I do know that I love a God who says, no, I know how many hairs are on your head, my friend. I love you. I care for you. You are significant. And so those of us this morning who are feeling, I just don't even want to get out of my pajamas. And it's not just because I can have a lazy day. I just don't feel as though I'm there. Know that God says you are significant. And even those big questions or those little questions are significant to him. We've been shaken. We feel like we might be insignificant. What does this mean in the whole span of the world now of this whole pandemic thing? And yet, we read in verse, because I didn't put this on my little script, verse 10. The wise men have met, they have had their little chat with Herod, and then, when they saw the star in verse 10, they were overjoyed. Joy came back. Joy hit them as they looked up and they saw the star and they went, yes. This is that moment again, that I've found it moment. We're currently getting ready to move house at some point. There are things I'm finding that I didn't realize I had, many of which are ending up in the bin. But the other day, I was cleaning out one of the various cupboards with loads of paper and loads of stuff in it, and I found a little post-it note with a picture of a person who looked really, really hairy. Like, had a beard. It was a drawn picture. And then had some words on the side that said, "To my daddy, the best daddy ever." And I can't remember when I got it. But of all of the pieces of paper that went in the bin and were shredded and would whatever I got rid of, I found that and joy hit me again. It brought a tear, I'm not going to lie. There were other things that I found, I was like, oh, that's amazing. And there were other things that I found, like, oh, credit card statement, whoops. You know, sometimes it's those simple little things that bring us joy. I found it again. And I know exactly where it is, and I know that it's going to stay with me for a very, very long time. I found it. The wise men had their moment again. They have found the star. They find this dirty stable building in a small town in Judea. They aren't normal people that have answered the door. It's a young mum with a child. We're not told where Joseph is. This is a kink? Really? This little child? And yet, they realize that this child was the Christ, the Son of God, sent not only for the Jewish race, but also for all, for even the Gentiles. They recognize this, and without hesitation, they then get out pretty expensive gifts. They're not cheap gifts to give. They're not like your cheap plastic stuff that you might have got in your stocking. All right, they're not, sadly, a turkey hat that Gareth was wearing on Christmas Day, everybody. Watch back or find my Instagram feed. They are expensive. They come down and they worship the king with these gifts. The Eureka moment brings joy. Imagine that journey back home, even though they had to go a different way. Of the smile on their face, of the joy that they had got to worship this king. And they are just like, we did it. Yes. Are we like that ready for 2021? Are we at that point of going, I'm not sure how much worse this could get. Not that worse is a word. But I'm going to try and have a posture, a position of joy rather than, oh my goodness me, the world has ended. Because the world hasn't ended. Maybe as we realized it, it's going to be different, yes. But Jesus is still sat on the throne. Jesus is still the king who is being worshipped in our scriptures. We've worshipped him this morning. And actually, that is something that brings us joy, a deep joy. Not a superficial joy. Imagine the story that those guys told when they got home. You'll never guess what. I would love that in December, we will be able to tell a story of you'll never guess what. You'll never guess. We've already had those stories. There was things that happened towards the back end of the last year in within team, within here, within at church, that you'll... Sorry, what? What happened? You'll never guess what. God did this. You know, I loved the fact that we were able to do Chris Dingle and I didn't have to actually do it physically. I was on the telly. It was great. I loved doing that with my family. But then to get the stories back of other people playing it in their back gardens and other people peering over the fence and going, I want to get involved. There are some good news stories still out there amidst all of the pain. There is still joy in those eureka moments. So, what questions have you still got from being shaken down in 2020? What are they? However big, however small, what are they? Because they're not insignificant questions. And I suggest that you do take them. We've encouraged you to have prayer partners, to have spiritual directors, to have accountability partners. Meet with those people in a COVID-safe way. Do that. But also, take your questions to God. And then, when you find the eureka moment, when you are overjoyed with the answer, however long or short that journey is, share it. Share your eureka moments and go, yes, I've found it. Because this is what God has done. Let's just take a moment to be still. We've talked about being shaken. We've talked about being insignificant or feeling insignificant or those questions. They're not really big questions. They are. Or maybe you're in a place of feeling joy, which is great. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. May we come to you. Whether we're feeling shaken and hurt and insignificant, come, Holy Spirit. May we not search the how-tos anymore. Mm-hmm. May we turn to you.